The Special Features Department of the Yankee Network presents the United Nations Today, a transcribed program produced by the Radio Division of the United Nations. This is the United Nations. From Lake Success, we present the radio review, the United Nations Today.
Arabs and Jews have been asked whether they would enter into agreements aimed at bringing about an effective truce in Palestine. This question was put to the Arab Higher Committee and the Jewish Agency for Palestine as a result of a meeting held today by four permanent members of the Security Council. Mr. Ivan Ashle, spokesman for the Arab Higher Committee, was present at this meeting held in New York City. He was asked whether the Arab Higher Committee would be prepared to enter into necessary agreements to bring about an effective truce in the Holy Land. Mr. Notchley said that he would refer this question to the committee for a reply. Also during the meeting, it was decided that Mr. Trygve Lie, the Secretary General of the United Nations, should send the same question to the Jewish Agency for Palestine. It was agreed that Dr. T.F. Chiang of China, the President of the Security Council, should communicate the essence of this question to Arab countries, which are members of the United Nations, to gain their views. The representatives of the United States, France, the Soviet Union, and China attended the meeting. However, Mr. Andrei Gromyko of the Soviet Union did not participate with the other representatives in putting forward this question. Mr. Gromyko had previously objected to consultations with Arabs and Jews by the permanent members of the council, and the Soviet delegate did not participate in the discussions of today's meeting, which centered around a statement of the Arab Higher Committee. In this statement, Mr. Nashley said that the Arab Higher Committee repeated its rejection of any solution to the Palestine problem based on a plan of partition, no matter in what form. He declared that this rejection also applied to creating a separate, provisional, or permanent administration for the city of Jerusalem. And the Arab spokesman emphasized his view that only the formation of a single independent state in Palestine would guarantee peace and security in the Holy Land, and at the same time be compatible with the Charter of the United Nations. In answer to a question, Mr. Notchley said that the Arab Higher Committee would not accept the partition plan for Palestine, no matter how it was amended. Also, in today's meeting, the four permanent council members made progress toward agreeing on a joint presentation to the Security Council of the essential facts of the Holy Land situation. The Palestine question will be taken up in an afternoon session on Tuesday by the Security Council. Originally, the council was scheduled to take up this problem on Monday, but the session was postponed. Also on Tuesday, the four permanent council members will continue their consultations and will hear a report from Dr. Chiang on his meetings with members of the Arab League. These consultations have been carried out in accordance with the Security Council resolution, which asked the permanent members of the council to draw up possible recommendations and instructions which might be given to the Palestine Commission with a view to implementing the partition plan of the Holy Land.
The Interim Committee of the General Assembly met at Lake Success today and took up several proposals dealing with the voting procedure in the Security Council. Debate centered around proposals submitted by Argentina, the United States, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, China, and Canada. The New Zealand proposal would have the United Nations Charter amended to allow the Council's majority to prevail when four of the five permanent members are in agreement. Here now is the New Zealand delegate, Mr. John S. Reid, as he presented his country's proposal to the Interim Committee.
What we aim to secure isn't in any way a destruction of the privileges and what we believe are the correct privileges of the great powers under the Charter. We expect those to stand until something better has been devised. But we do believe that the necessity suggested in our proposal that any one great power must secure the concurrence of another great power in the exercise of the veto will reduce not only the opportunity but also the temptation to use the veto capriciously, arbitrarily, and contrary to the whole spirit of the Charter. The whole world is weary of the spectacle of the Security Council tackling questions and not solving them, and of the United Nations coming to decisions and making no provision for their enforcement. If that continues, the this organization that was launched with the hopes and prayers of mankind will become a laughing stock to the people of the world. In the eyes of the world, it's beginning to appear that international decisions may be permanently stultified and frustrated by this principle of unanimity, this method of deciding, or more correctly, not deciding the problems of security. We therefore put our proposals forward with a desire that the Charter should be strengthened and that the whole cause should be pushed forward to ensure the maintenance of peace.
The United States proposal includes a list of 31 items which would not be subject to the veto. Dr. Philip Jessup offered the United States proposal to the interim committee. The United States representative mentioned one specific instance when the privilege of the veto had been abused in the view of his delegation.
It would perhaps be appropriate to note at this time two or three of the more important of these decisions where we firmly believe that the voting procedure should be liberalized. In the first place, Mr. Chairman, there is the question of applications for membership. This is item one on our list. 10 of the 23 vetoes in the Security Council have related to membership problems. This is not the time, Mr. Chairman, or the place for recriminations. But I would be less than frank if I failed to point to the most flagrant example of the abuse of the veto, the veto of Italy's membership application by the Soviet Union, not once, but two times. This was done in the face of overwhelming support for Italy's application in the Security Council and later in the General Assembly. This leads inescapably to the conclusion that the Soviet vetoes of the Italian United Nations membership application can be interpreted only as an expression of lack of friendship of the Soviet Union for the people of Italy. A way must be found to make such an injustice impossible. The Italian people must not be denied the right of United Nations membership, which they so richly deserve.
The Canadian resolution would have the Council work out a method of procedure to ensure that no state is judge in its own cause in any dispute in which it is involved. Here now is Canada's Mr. R.G. Riddell.
I think I should say in the first place that the Canadian delegation has stated on several occasions in the past that it did not favor any immediate attempts to amend the Charter until the possibilities of reforming voting procedure within the present framework had been exhausted. We continue to hold that position, although we view with increasing concern the failure of the Security Council to agree on rules of procedure or on a clearly understood code of conduct or on satisfactory interpretations of words and phrases in the Charter which might reassure members of the United Nations as to the capacity of that Council to pursue a strong and coherent policy in world affairs. We are aware, Mr. Chairman, of the positive achievements of the Council, and we welcome the fact that in the past few months, the Council has managed to carry on its work without the use of the veto by any member. We are also glad to note that matters may be discussed by the Council, that questions may be put on the agenda and dropped from the agenda, and that a permanent member can abstain from a vote, all without the disruption caused by the use of the veto. Since we still retain the hope that an effective agreement on practices will develop to strengthen and clarify the present basic provisions of the Charter, we welcome any indication, no matter how slight, that the members of the Security Council, and especially the permanent members, are finding it possible to agree on the principles and procedures of voting. On the other hand, we must face the fact that the general political situation in the world is becoming worse. The Security Council has had far more problems brought to it than it has satisfactorily dealt with and cleared from its agenda. One need only glance quickly at the questions of which the Council is currently seized to realize how many problems are yet unsolved. It is surely impossible to believe that the progress made in agreement amongst the permanent members on voting procedure to date is at all commensurate with the increasing political burdens undertaken by the Council.
All of these resolutions on changing the voting procedure in the Security Council were referred to a special 17-nation subcommittee. The proposals will be studied by this group, which is to submit a report to the interim committee itself by May 15th. A similar subcommittee was also set up to deal with proposals which concern the setting up of a permanent committee of the General Assembly. You see, the interim committee, as it's now established, is designed to function only from the end of the last session of the General Assembly until the next full meeting, scheduled to be held in Paris this September.
The government of Czechoslovakia has appointed Dr. Vladimir Hudek to the post of permanent representative of the Czechoslovak Republic to the United Nations. Dr. Hudek's appointment was officially communicated to the Secretary General of the United Nations by the Czechoslovak Charge d'Affaires in Washington. Notice of the appointment was given according to instructions from the Czechoslovak government in Prague. Over the weekend, the Czechoslovak government, through its embassy in Washington, also notified the Secretary General that Dr. Jan Papanek had ceased to be the permanent representative of the Czechoslovak Republic to the United Nations. These developments came as it was disclosed that the Security Council is scheduled to meet next Wednesday to discuss whether or not to place the Czechoslovak question on its agenda. The Czechoslovak question was placed on the Council's provisional agenda for discussion on Wednesday at the request of Chile. The Chilean representative, Dr. Hernan Santa Cruz, asked the Council to investigate recent events in Czechoslovakia as constituting a threat to peace. And the Chilean delegates supported the charges made earlier against the Czechoslovak government by Dr. Jan Papanek, who had blamed the recent political crisis in Czechoslovakia to Soviet influence.
The president of Czechoslovakia, Dr. Eduard Beneš, has sent a telegram to the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Trygve Lie, thanking Mr. Lie for the message of condolence which he sent on the death of the Czechoslovak Foreign Minister, Dr. Jan Masaryk. Dr. Beneš's telegram said, "Thank you most sincerely for your dear expression of sympathy upon the death of our Jan Masaryk. He devoted his life to work for his own country as well as for all of humanity and will never be forgotten."
Now here's other United Nations news in brief. The United Nations Conference on Trade and Employment, now meeting in Havana, has agreed to conclude the conference on the 24th of March. The conference has been drawing up a world trade charter for the proposed International Trade Organization. The delegates attending the conference also approved the text of this charter, the so-called final act of the conference. And they agreed this morning to allow delegations 48 hours to consider this final act before signing in plenary session.
The International Labor Organization, the ILO, has been asked by a unit of the United Nations Economic Commission in Geneva to help in solving Europe's manpower problems. The ILO was asked to take specific measures to train and retrain workers and to accelerate the movement of manpower between European countries.
The United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization has opened a regional conference in Baguio, the Philippines. The purpose of the conference is to consider the overall food problems of the Far Eastern and Pacific areas in the light of the recent conferences held there on nutrition, fisheries, and rice.
And that concludes the United Nations Today, which has come to you from Lake Success, New York.
From the studios of the United Nations headquarters here at Lake Success, the radio division of the United Nations has presented its weekday feature, The United Nations Today, a topical account of significant international developments. This program is a public service presentation of the Yankee Network, produced by the radio division of the United Nations. This is the Yankee Network.